Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
We're in our series on the greatest commandment, and this morning we're going to talk about loving God with our emotions. And this is just such a close to the heart subject. This is a really intrusive, not in a bad way, but just like it doesn't get any more real and inside you sort of a way to love God than the subject of trying to figure out how to love God with our emotions. We've been on this journey trying to figure out what it looks like to be a people that love the Lord our God with all. And we really can't leave out the area of emotions and do in any way a real job of covering it all. So I want to talk about the realm of our emotions a little bit. Let's just kind of discuss what that is. Describe a little bit about what our emotions are. What's going on there? Well, first thing, if you're new to being human, congratulations. Welcome. Emotions are very normal. They're very human. It's a very normal thing for every human being to have emotions. And for those emotions sometimes to be heightened. Sometimes we've got them really, really intense. Good things and bad things. But emotions are normal, they're human, and there's no shame in having them. There's no shame in having emotions. God made us emotional creatures. He did it on purpose. He knew what he was getting into when he created us with all these different emotions. And so emotions are actually our glory. It's what it means to be human, that we get to feel things deeply. Good things, bad things, weird things. We get to feel deeply. It's our glory. It's one of the ways that God made us so different and unique and set apart, is that we've got this whole realm of emotions that are going on inside of us that we get to feel. I mean, we get to feel excitement. We get to feel terror sometimes. We get to feel joy. We get to feel all these things. And the fact that we can feel those is one of the ways we know we're alive. It's one of the great gifts of God to the human race. It's a God-given reality that we've got all these emotions. And they're great. They add pleasure to life. They add meaning to life. Just think about those seasons. If you've ever been in a time of your life where you kind of felt numb. And life felt a little void. It felt a little empty. Maybe a lot empty. It's because we were created to feel stuff. And when we feel those emotions, they add pleasure, you know, to our existence, and they help us feel alive, and they give meaning to our days when we're having different emotions. But they can also create some unwanted soul traffic. Can I get an amen on that one? I mean, there are just times where we're feeling things, and it's like, okay, I'd really love to stop feeling this right now. It'd be okay with me if this one just went away and never came back. Like, it creates an opportunity for lots of things raging within us. And they don't even have to necessarily be a bad emotion. They can just be like kind of an all-consuming one, which could be good, bad, neutral, if there is such a thing as neutral. But it can create unwanted soul traffic where we're not able to turn it off. You know, our mind and our spirit is just kind of racing around things. And so this is like a really big universe inside of us is our emotions. There's a whole universe in there. And we want to talk today about how do we love God with that internal universe of our emotions. Emotions are passionate. They're personal. We get to feel the high highs and the low lows. I don't love low lows. Those are not my favorite. But man, we feel them all, man. And it's intense. And this is how God made us. They're very, very real. Our emotions are real. They are part of how God made us and how he made us to filter and process life, to filter and process relationships, experiences. I mean, our emotions are a very real part of who God made us and what he gave us. They're very much a part of our life, but they're also a minefield. And if we're not careful, we can explode. We can have those emotions just blow up all over us and then us blow up all over people. I mean, there is a minefield of emotions, and we have got to learn to get a little control. We got to figure out, what do we give permission to? What do we not give permission to? What do we run with? What do we try to, you know, get the Lord to really help us process? What, there are times where, you know, we need to put some of our emotions in check. There's a lot going on there, but I just want to give us the Matthew 22 verse that we've been looking at throughout the series, the greatest commandment. Look at it. Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Our emotions are definitely in that heart part. With all your soul. They're probably in there too. With all your mind. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I'm feeling my emotions and it's really connected to my thoughts. There's just, this subject of emotions is kind of like all up in all of them, you know? They're really closely connected. And Jesus said, this is the first and the greatest commandment, that you'd learn to love me with all your heart, soul, and mind. And that for sure includes our emotions. And so this morning, as we talk about what it looks like to love God with our emotions, I'll just kind of set a few ground rules and the little introduction we just did. Your emotions are not bad, but your emotions can absolutely lead you to be insane. They can absolutely lead you so far astray. I mean, like the astrayest thing ever. Your emotions are totally human, and they cause you to feel so many things in life, and that's from God. It's God's intention that as one created in his image, you would get to feel stuff and not just robot through life. That you would get in every moment, experience, situation, conversation, you would be able to process not just through your intellect, but also through your emotions. It's part of the way that God made you. It's important that we learn to get in touch with our emotions, and then we learn to touch our emotions. We tell our emotions to shut up from time to time, because they don't get to rule. Just because we've got them doesn't mean they're in charge, okay? Well, let's look at some things here. We'll start off with the rough side of things, kind of looking at a few different areas of emotions that, remember, if our objective is to love God with all our days, all our time, all our processing, all our emotions, then it's good that we would know that there are some emotions, many in fact, that if we give into them, they will actually destroy our love for Jesus. They'll actually take us away from love for Jesus. See, just because we have an emotion doesn't mean that we want to give into it. Just because we have an emotion doesn't mean that it's healthy for us to, you know, act according to that emotion. I'm glad I have emotions, even the negative ones, but for a different reason than I'm glad that I have the positive ones. The negative emotions are actually part of our battlefield. It's actually part of us learning how to have some self-control. It's part of us learning what is wisdom and what is not wisdom. See, God created planet Earth, and then the enemy came in and sowed all sorts of negative stuff into the game. And we have got to learn how to discern and navigate. And so it's a very important part of our love for Jesus that we learn how to navigate through the negative emotions. It's actually an expression of love to Jesus when you take a negative emotion and you treat it rightly instead of give into it. It's actually love for Jesus. It's a way that we express the greatest commandment is by carefully handling our negative emotions and then carefully handling, in a different way, our positive ones. So let's look at some of the negative. I didn't know what to call them. I just kind of made up some categories. You know, when you dive into something as, you know, theoretical and nebulous as the realm of our emotions, it's not like, I don't know too many people that are like really smart enough to talk about that in an intelligent way. I am not one of them. So I just make up stuff and kind of fumble forward. So forgive me. But I'm just calling these dark emotions, this little category here, hate, anger, violence, resentment. These are emotions. We all like, yeah, I know what it feels to have resentment, to feel resentment. Not to just have an analytical argument for why I resent something or someone, but to feel that resentment burning in me. Man, these emotions, they feel powerful. I don't like that it's true, but when you're feeling hate, it feels supercharged. It feels like powerful, but that doesn't mean it's a good idea. You do not want to give into these dark emotions. Again, anger, hate, violence, resentment. If you give yourself, if you meditate on those, you're going to wind up loving Jesus less. You're going to wind up sacrificing that time that you were thinking and feeling those things and giving into them. It's one thing to feel it, recognize it, and then start the fight, start the battle against it. It's another to give into it and allow those things to grow. And if we give into those dark emotions, man, it'll take our soul further away from Jesus. I mean, I don't like it that I can wake up in the morning and be like, God, I love you. And then by midday, because something bad happened, give myself over in the same day that I started off happy-go-lucky. In the same day, I don't like it that I can wind up giving into anger in my heart. But I can. I have that capacity, and so do you. Man, it's like, what a waste of time. What a deterrent from my love pursuit of Jesus. What a way to fill myself with all sorts of stuff that's not helpful and not good. And I like, it really accomplishes no good, and it accomplishes a lot of bad good. I mean, it's like, it really goes the opposite direction. It's like you're really going negative in the good category, the way that you're feeling, the way that you're connecting with the Lord. Those dark emotions. But there's also emotions that elevate ourselves over other people. Also not helpful. Judgment, comparison, pride, superiority. I don't know if you've ever felt that before. A feeling of superiority. I feel superior to this person. I feel like I'm better than them. That's a dangerous place to be. Pride, judgment, comparison, or you're feeling it. Like, I feel elevated over this person. I feel like I'm better than them because of this or that. I want to tell you this. Some of you need to hear this. This realm is just as dangerous as the hate, anger, violence thing we just talked about. It's a giant distraction. Like, I know we feel it, but we don't have to give into it. I know those feelings come, but we don't have to meditate on them. We don't have to feed them, because I'll just tell you this. If you think about it, if you give yourself, you meditate, you kind of simmer in that, it's going to grow. You will fuel that thing, and you will become more and more and more of whatever it is that you give your thoughts, your heart, and your mind to. And so some of us, unfortunately, are the byproduct of what we've been thinking about and meditating on this last year. You're like, I kind of don't like what's going on in there. It looks a little cancerous. Well, there's a reason we grow in whatever it is that we're meditating on, whatever we're giving into. The Lord has given us, it's really kind of a crazy sovereignty that we can give ourselves to whatever we want. we can meditate, we can invest in whatever we want in any realm. It's so crazy. And then there's byproducts of those choices. Emotions that focus on our lack. We all feel these from time to time because we all have lack in our life, some area of lack. And then there are these emotions that want to go after that lack and focus on it. Here's one, jealousy. They have this, I don't have that. I want that. I'm focusing on my lack. Greed. I've got a little of this, but I sure want a lot more of this. I'm going to give myself focused attention to this. Focusing on lack. Lust. Same thing. I don't have that. I want that. It's like something waging a war within us that's actually focused on what we don't have. Envy. Seeing what others have. See y'all. All that, it's focused on our lack, though. We don't want to give into emotions. We don't want to be people that live our lives mostly thinking or even thinking much at all about what we don't have. What a waste of time. What a waste of thought life. Like, I'm just going to think about what I don't have all the time. What a miserable soul we will be. I mean, we will be all sorts of no fun at parties. Like, you show up, it's like, I don't have any trophies. I don't have any, you know, winnings. I don't have any experience. It's like, dude, it's a party. Lighten up. Eat a slice of pizza already. We don't want to be focused on what we don't have, that those areas, those emotions of lack. But I just want to validate that you have them, and I have them. They're very real, and they come at us sometimes in a way that is like loud. Emotions that don't trust God. Shame, fear, doubt, worry. I know you feel those things, but we don't want to give into them. We don't want to express those and fuel those because they'll take us far away from the Lord. It's ultimately, those are emotions that are causing us to doubt and to not trust who God is. And there's, we just don't want to give in to them. You want to refuse emotions that devalue who God made you to be. Worthlessness, self-hate, inadequacy, hopelessness. Now, some of you feel these things. I want to tell you, it's okay to feel them, but you got to fight. It's okay that you're feeling them. You're not a bad person because you're feeling hopeless, but don't stay focused on it. Let it be a fight. Listen, if you ever got a strong man coming into your house promising to punch you, don't stop kicking and screaming until he's gone or you pass on. Don't let that strong man come in unchallenged, okay? So when hopelessness comes at you, you challenge hopelessness. You don't meditate on hopelessness. You don't give into it. You don't just go, I'm just going to be Eeyore and be hopeless for the rest of my life. You got to fight that thing. You got to challenge that hopelessness. You got to challenge it and you go, God, help me. I am feeling this way. We'll talk a little bit more in a bit about how we handle these emotions. Right now, I'm just trying to expose some of them and go, get us all going, yeah, I'm feeling some of those. We got to own up to the fight. Don't give up. Don't settle. You fight those things so that they don't wind up overtaking you. Because I just want to tell you this. The enemy knows how to supercharge emotions like no other. And when he supercharges these emotions that are actually intended, if we give into them, they're intended to take us away from Jesus, intended to take us further away. We cannot possibly live out the greatest commandment and be meditating and allowing our emotional realm to be given over to these negative emotions. Okay, well, let's talk about the flip side. How about emotions that actually escort us into love? Emotions that actually help us love Jesus better. Emotions that if we'll actually focus on them, you know, think about them, fuel them, if we'll give into these a little bit, they'll actually help us love Jesus better today, tomorrow. See, here's the thing. This is so practical because all of you are going to feel about 1,000 emotions this week. And if we could just know which ones to go, you know what? I probably don't want to spend too much time giving energy to that one. And man, I'm going to go the distance with this one. I'm going to feel all the feels I can feel. If we'll know which ones are healthy for us to embrace and which ones are part of our fight, then we can rightly respond to both categories. Emotions that escort us into love. Psalm 103, verse 1. Just love this idea. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. See, we want to use the emotional capacities that God has given us to praise him with all of our inmost being. You could add all your inmost being to the list of love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and all your inmost being. That whole, all your inmost being, it's all your emotions. It's the whole emotional realm going on there. And the call is that we would learn to worship him and to love him with all our inmost being. That we would use the emotions that we've got access to be able to love God. I didn't know what else to call them. I just called them bright emotions. Joy, peace, appreciation. Those feel good, don't they? When you feel appreciation. You feel peace. You feel joy. Man, run with those. Dialogue with the Lord about those. Fuel those all day long. See, there are emotions that we don't have time to get into it right now, but all these ones that I'm going to look at, they're all the opposites of the ones we were looking at a minute ago. It's all the exact opposite emotions. It's the same like essence. It's the same starting point, but going this direction instead of this direction. See, emotions were intended to help us worship Jesus. Emotions were intended to help us to love God. We've got, however, these choices when we start to feel things, which direction we go. Emotions that elevate others, honor, respect, desire to sacrifice for others. Those elevate others. Those are ways that we actually get to feel. It's so awesome. I absolutely love the generosity that's in my wife. I love to watch her want to sacrifice for people. Not being told she needed to. There's something in her that's like, oh, I want to. I'm like, oh, okay, wow, there's a little sauce on that. All right. She's like, I gotta do this. I wanna do this. I want to. It's a fun thing to watch and observe in her. This desire to sacrifice for others. Others might feel that a desire to honor other people. See, it's a good thing. It actually helps us in our emotional life with God to feel and give in to the desire to honor other people, the desire to respect and show respect to others, that feeling of respect. Have you ever had a feeling of respect? You're just like, maybe it never comes out of your mouth, but you're just like, man, respect, bro, respect. Ooh, there's something in you. You're like, man, that was awesome. It feels good. It's intended to feel good. It's part of the way God created you. He made you an emotional critter, and he wants you to feel those things. We just got to learn which ones we give into and which ones are our fight. Emotions that focus on what we have. Remember earlier we were talking about what we don't have? Emotions that focus on our lack. Let's focus on emotions of what we do have. Appreciation for what we have. Thankfulness, gratitude, contentment. You know, contentment might be my favorite one, because contentment isn't even focused on what we have necessarily, and it's certainly not focused on what we don't have. It's just this like enjoyment of the now. And it feels good. It feels good to be content, however you got there. It's a good emotion. I like it. It's like, oh yeah, I'm good right now. I'm good. I like being good. I like that feeling. See, that's part of the way God wired us in order to be able to use those moments, those emotions, to be able to turn it back to him and talk to him about it. You want to give in to appreciation, thankfulness, gratitude, feeling so much gratitude in your heart. Emotions that trust God. So we were looking at the ones a minute ago that we're not trusting. Let's look at the ones that are trusting. The feeling of security. Feels good. The feeling of faith, just it bubbling up, trust, hope, these things, trusting in God. We want to live there. We want our emotions to go that direction. And I just want to tell you, while you may not be able to jumpstart emotions just at the drop of a hat, you may not be in charge enough that you can go, now I will feel this emotion, ready, push button, go. It doesn't quite work that way. Our emotions are more like wind. They kind of come at us. But there are times where you face the wind and you just let that thing blow. And then there are times where you turn your back on that wind a little bit so that it doesn't wind up bringing anything into you that you don't want. We want to give in to emotions that trust God. Last category we'll look at, and then we'll try to get a little practical here. Emotions that value who God made us to be. See, we're living in a generation that's confused about who God made us to be. And we're living in a generation where there's just so much yuck coming against us, condemning us, getting us into the whole comparison game. There's just so much. But emotions, feeling self-worth, man, camp out there. It doesn't have to turn into pride for you to really enjoy who God made you to be, because God doesn't make mistakes. He made you the way he made you, and he likes you. And after a good long assessment, he's like, yep, I did a good job. Good job, me. He looks at you as a victory, that he made you the way that he did on purpose. So feelings of self-worth, feelings of seeing our own beauty, our own value, celebrating our diversity. Diversity isn't bad. God did that. All the diversity, height, everything, personality, where you came from. Everything about us, that diversity, we don't shy away from it. We celebrate it because God made you the way he made you on purpose, and he didn't make you that other way on purpose. We want to celebrate the diversity. We want to feel it and go, you made me this way, and it's awesome. It's awesome. That's a good feeling to give into. And the nobility of being made in his image. That's what being human is. That's what this whole realm of emotions really even kind of highlights, is that we were made in his image. He is emotional, therefore we are. All the emotions that you can feel, you can see them reflected in the word about the ways that God created us and even the ways that he feels. All right, so let's talk about controlling them, because ultimately, we don't want to just list off a bunch of emotions and go, okay, dismissed. We want to talk about, now what do we do with them? So great. So there's all these emotions that are at war in my heart. My goodness, I walked in here ready to be encouraged. You told me I got a universe of warring emotions. Thanks, Brad. Really helpful. Well, here's the good news. This is the great news. You are in control, not them. You are in control. Your emotions do not control you. You control your emotions. I recognize there are times when your emotions are very loud and very strong. You are still in control. See, because the word tells us that we have power, the power of God living inside of us that can overcome anything, the world and everything, and our emotions. See, you are in control. And the reason that that is important is because you need to recognize in those moments when you're like, man, I wish I could feel this for a little bit longer, because it's one of those, you're feeling something that's escorting you into love. It's causing you to love Jesus more. I want to tell you, you can fuel that thing. You've got control. On the other side, sometimes you're feeling things, it's like, I am feeling so much hate right now. You are in control. You can take that thing captive and make it obedient to Christ. You do not have to live there. You do not have to camp out in resentment, in anger, in despair, in hopelessness. You don't have to. You have been given power by the Holy Spirit to control your emotions and to overcome them. Now, that doesn't mean it won't come back again tomorrow. I wish it did. It doesn't mean it won't come back a little bit later this afternoon. I wish it did. But it does mean that you can take those things captive and you don't have to give in to them. You get to choose who you let in the car and who you kick out. You're going to let hopelessness in, or you're going to let joy in. And again, I recognize sometimes it's winds that blow, and we don't necessarily get to experience every emotion we want to right now. Sometimes we got to wait for whatever wind comes and then decide, am I going to give into that or not? But I want to tell you, in the realm of life, you're going to experience more of what you chase. You're going to experience more of what you give into. And you want to be careful, because you are in control. And I want to confront the lie of the day, and that is our culture just says, you know, do what you feel like. Follow your heart. Your heart will lead you to hell. Don't follow your heart. That's a terrible idea. Your heart is dumb. Your heart loves sin. I know, because my heart loves sin and my heart's dumb. You're just like me. Don't follow your heart. That's horrible suggestion, horrible counsel. Do whatever you feel like. You do what you feel like, you wind up in jail by the end of the day. Don't do what you feel like. It's terrible advice. Don't do that. Instead, the Word of God has given us the parameters of what we're to do and not to do, what we're to give into and not to give into. And I want to remind you, you're in charge of your emotions, not the other way around. So you're not a victim of your emotions. Now, you may be a battler of your emotions. You may be in a fight with some of those emotions, but your emotions don't win. They don't define you. It's not, just because you're feeling that doesn't mean you have to do it. Doesn't mean that's your destiny and that's what you're going to be like and what you're going to be about. We're responsible for our choices. I want to give you this old school verse in Leviticus 5. I just like it because it had some terminology that I thought was really right on point for what we're talking about. If anyone sins and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, no matter how you feel, no matter what feeling led you to do that thing, whatever is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, even though they do not know it, they are guilty and they will be held responsible. See, the word says we're responsible for our choices. And so many times, I don't know about you, so many times my choices, at least until I think about it, at least the initial choice, the initial thing I'm going to do, so many times it's fueled by my emotions. I'm like, well, what do you want to do right now? Right now, I feel this. Okay, cool. Cool. Let's also temper that with reality, with the Bible and, you know, laws. Let's go ahead and just see if that idea that you have, that you're feeling right now, let's see if that's a good idea or not, because you're going to be responsible for what you do. You're going to be held responsible because we are, meaning we are in control. We can choose. There are emotions that are okay to feel and never to act on. There are emotions that are okay to act on, but only in specific situations. There are emotions that we absolutely just cannot give into, because what they will cause us to do, we'll be held responsible for it. It'll ruin our life. It'll ruin a relationship. It'll ruin our, you know, perfect driving record. We've got, however, the fruit of self-control. If we've got Jesus, you have God living in you. I want to just make sure we understand this real quick. For those that don't know God, they don't have God living in them. That's normal. It's a normal thing to not have God living in you. When you give your life to Jesus, you now don't have God not living in you anymore. Now you have God living in you, and that is not normal. That is epic. That is awesome and changes everything. You now have God inside of you, and the rules are different. You have access to things that people that don't have God don't have access to because they don't have God living in them. If God is for me, who can be against me? If God is inside of me, what can't I do? See, the rules are different. So I just want to make sure we understand this isn't about you being cool or you being smart or even you being that obedient. It's about God living in you, giving you access to God. And when you have access to God, you can do whatever. You can do anything. So let's look at one of the things we can do when we've got access to God, when God lives in us because we've given our life to him. Let's just look at a couple verses. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. One of the fruit of the Spirit, and let's just get the picture here. The idea is the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and he's a tree, okay? At least in this little picture. And as a tree, he's got fruit coming out of him. And that fruit's coming out actually inside of you because you've got access to the one Spirit. And that Spirit, one of the fruit of the Spirit, is self-control. Now, let me tell you for sure what self-control is. For sure. Not doing dumb stuff. Not doing bad stuff. Not doing sin stuff. Not doing illegal stuff. It's not doing stuff that you really, really want to do because you're horrible and you want to do bad stuff. He's given you power to not do it by the Holy Spirit. You've been given the fruit of self-control. So while your emotions might be raging, they might be saying, do this, say this, go there. You have the power of self-control by the Holy Spirit living in you. And wherever you feel weak, if any of you feels weak, ask God for help. Help! Give me a bigger self-control fruit. Make it bigger. It's like a little grape. I need a watermelon. Make it a big old watermelon-sized fruit of self-control because I got problems, God. I got problems. He wants to hear you talk about your problems with him. Your friend, however, is tired of hearing you talk about your problems. But God wants to hear all the time, okay? He loves it. Titus 2, 11 through 12. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. The grace of God lives inside of you if you have the Holy Spirit. If you've given your life to Jesus, you've got the grace of God. And here's what the grace of God does. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness. And that grace of God gives us power to live self-controlled. It gives us power over our emotions. See, because remember, I was saying earlier, and I maybe didn't make the point strong enough. So many times my initial knee-jerk reaction of what I want to do, maybe I do it. Maybe I don't do it, but my initial knee-jerk reaction to a situation, a conversation, a person, a whatever, my initial knee-jerk reaction is so often fueled by my emotions. You guys catch that? Is that you too? You're in a situation, you're like, my emotions is this, therefore I will punch you in the face. It's like, oh, punching bad, punching jail time, punching fines. I'm going to choose to not punch this person, though. They need to be punched. Somebody ought to punch them. Hope somebody punches them later. See, so many times our decisions, at least our knee-jerk reactions, they're fueled by our emotions. But here's what the grace of God does. When you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, it teaches you to say no to those things and to live self-controlled because self-control is power over our emotions. What that means is you can now direct those emotions this way or this way. You can choose to give in or not give in. You have the power of God living inside of you. You have control over your emotions. Praise the Lord that we do. Because it means we can actually navigate this thing well. We could actually love God today with our emotions. We could choose to put some emotions in check, and we could choose to give in to other emotions, choose to express those in certain ways. We have got to learn what to give into and what to deny. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 16, 24. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple, you want to be saved? You want to be a Christian? You want to be somebody that loves Jesus? Here's what you got to do. You got to learn how to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus. Deny yourself. Self-control. Deny yourself. See, a big part of walking with Jesus is learning what to deny. Because you still have all those desires raging within you. And some of those desires, you have to straight up crucify. Some of those desires, you have to deny and deny and deny forever. And then when you don't, you got to like, oh, Jesus, forgive me. And he'll forgive you. But we got to learn how to take up our cross and follow Jesus in the realm of our emotions. I just want to be so clear with us. You don't have permission to say whatever comes to your mind. You don't have permission to do whatever your emotions would cause you want to do. We have got to learn how to deny those things. We've got to learn how to tap into the grace of God that has been given to those that love Jesus, to learn how to live self-controlled so that our emotions are a blessing and not a distraction, not a curse, not our worst enemy. Because I got news for you, they're not going anywhere. You are going to carry those things to your last breath. So we've got to figure out how to navigate. We have got to figure out, how do we rightly engage our emotions? First, I want to tell you, I said it, 100 ways already, but I just want to say it crystal clear kind of as we wrap up. Don't give power to negative feelings. You're feeling negative feelings? Don't think about them. Stop meditating on them. Stop pondering. Stop giving them a place. I know they're coming against you, but just because they're coming against you doesn't mean you lay down and roll over. Don't give power to negative emotions. They will explode within you. Your emotions can make or break you. It's a crazy thing that something invisible, something intangible, something seemingly so small and so mundane and normal can make or break a person. Your emotions can, depending on what you do with them. This is why we got to learn to submit these things to Jesus. We have got to learn to talk to God about our emotions. I love the way that David was just so, heart and hand, open. He talked to God about everything. Look at Psalm 22, 1 through 3. It's a little dramatic. Well, I'm not going to say that it isn't, but I also know there's moments where this has been me. Psalm 22, 1 through 3. My God, who's he talking to? His friend, his neighbor, or his God? His God. My God, why have you forsaken me? That was so wrong. Where are you? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. Don't you hear me crying right now? I'm a big baby. I'm a sobbing mess. That's like 3 Kleenex boxes later on the floor. I need you. Why are you not here right now? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, I find no rest. Yet, you are enthroned as the Holy One. I just want to give you permission to talk to God all you want about your negative emotions, but don't forget, he's enthroned. He's the Holy One. Part of the reason you're talking to him is because he actually has the power to change things. Part of the reason you're processing with him is because he's smart and he created the emotions. Part of the reason that you process with him is because he's safe ground and he doesn't get offended like your friend. He doesn't get offended like, your mom or your neighbor or your spouse. I mean, he doesn't get offended like that. I want to encourage us, let's process all of our emotions with God. Now, think about what that'll do for our love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What if we started processing all of our emotions with God first and primarily? What if processing with people was a way distant second thing instead of a first thing? What if we stopped processing all of our emotions on the front end with people? What if our first go-to wasn't to go talk to a human about all the things that we're feeling? What if our first default was to talk to God about our emotions? See, because he actually has the power to change it. Listen, I love you, but if you talk to me about your emotions, all I can do is pray for you. And really, when I pray for you, what am I doing? I'm trying to get God to help you because I'm incapable and I'm willing. I mean, I'll do it. I've got people in my life. They tell me about their emotions. I tell them about mine, but that really can't be the end of it. I mean, it really even shouldn't be the start of it. Let's process with God. God, you made me. I'm really ticked about this thing. I'm really struggling with this thing. I've got anguish. Do you see that word anguish? anguish, cries of anguish. And that just, that's gut-wrenching. That's just deep. It's okay to process with God. Start there. Go the distance, processing your emotions with God. Talk to him about it all the time. It will actually draw you closer to God. If you process your emotions with God, you'll draw closer to him. And then you'll get him in the conversation to actually help you. I loved Amy talking earlier, you know, during the whatever time, the talking about our vision. She was talking about when she's not in the process or in the pattern, the habit of talking to the Lord and asking him to be involved in areas of her life and do stuff, she notices that she sees God do less in her life. But that when she's engaged and she says, oh God, help me here, show up here, she sees God move more. Of course, the Lord said, ask, seek, knock, and stuff will happen. I'll paraphrase my version. But if you don't ask, you don't seek, and you don't knock, lots of stuff won't happen. God still throws out little things here and there because he's in charge of the whole planet, but you're missing out. Let's get God involved in all of our stuff called our emotions. Let's get him involved. Let's talk to him. Stop processing so much with people. There's a place for it, but it's got to be like 10th, and the first 9 are Jesus. Jesus, 9, and then 10, a human. Let's stop going to people first or even second. Go to God like 6 times, 9 times before you go to people. There is a place to have people involved in our emotions, but it's not primary. And I think part of where we've made some mistakes is we've processed too much of our emotional baggage with people and having never processed those emotions with God. And so, of course, we're all still broken and lonely and messed up all in those areas. God is the counselor. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is the counselor. We got to go to him and ask him for that help. And then lastly, I just want to give you the easiest freebie on how to process our emotions. Easiest. Fill your life with praise, thanksgiving, and gratitude towards Jesus. If you will make a constant pursuit to tell Jesus how thankful you are for the new chairs in the sanctuary, to thank Jesus for the fact that you woke up today, to thank Jesus that you ate yesterday. Who knows what will happen to you today? At least you ate yesterday, for those of you who ate. Thank Jesus. Fill your heart and your life with gratitude. Be intentional. If you will set yourself to praise the Lord, to thank the Lord, to be grateful to what the Lord has already done in your life, if you will do that, you will instantly change the rules for the entire foundation of your life and your emotional chemistry. If you will make it your pattern to praise him, to thank him, and have a grateful heart, you will suffer so much less of the pain and the intensity and the poison of emotions that those emotions can cause. You want to be a thankful heart. And if you will, it will help you greatly.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.